We are in Galatians chapter 5 tonight. Verse 22, once again, I'm trying to take you through a study of the fruit of the Spirit. If I recall, there's like 9 of them. And we're a little bit more than halfway through. Tonight we're going to talk about the believer's kindness. So let's pause and bow together for prayer. We thank you, our Father, that you are here with us. Tonight your presence is with us. We thank you that your grace is at work in our hearts and that you are making us over into the image, Father, of your dear Son. We ask that even tonight, where we might feel weak or weary or tired, that you would strengthen us. We pray that we would be able to receive this word with gladness. We pray that we would be changed and transformed by your Spirit so that we would be believers who are manifesting this very important fruit of the Spirit, kindness. Be gracious to us, O God, for we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Well, it's always good to check the original wording in the Greek when you're studying verses like this one, because the translators of even excellent translations may differ in the way that they translate a particular word. The word that we are studying tonight is translated gentleness in the King James translation, but in the NAS, the New King James, and the ESV versions, it's translated kindness. Interestingly, in the newer translations, the word in the King James, meekness, 3 words down from this in the list, from the word that we're studying, is translated gentleness in the NAS and the New King James, as well as the ESV. From what I can tell, the word that we are studying tonight ought to be translated kindness. The word is krestates. Strong's dictionary defines it as usefulness, that is, moral excellence in character or demeanor, gentleness, good or goodness, and kindness. The word, 3 words down from this in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in the Greek, is praeutes. It appears that the newer translations are right in translating it either meekness or gentleness. Strong's defines it as mildness, that is, by implication, humility or meekness. So this is how I will approach our study tonight. I want you to understand how important kindness is to walking in the Spirit and bearing lasting fruit around us. In other words, if we don't have kindness and show kindness, we cannot really glorify God whom we desire to serve. Well, first of all, it's important to be kind because it's a grace which we learn from God Himself. Would you turn over with me to Titus chapter 3 and we'll look at verses 3 to 6. Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 to 6. Jenny, when you get over there, if you would read that for me, that'd be great.
For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind reappeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Mm-hmm. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, you can see from verse 3 that before we came to Christ, before we were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, before we were converted to Christ, it says here, we were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What does the word malice mean? Can you tell me? Well, malice is bearing ill will towards other people. What would you say envy is? This may be more difficult.
Envy is wanting something that they have that you don't.
That's good, Dave. That's very good. Envy is a feeling of discontent or mortification. That is a sense of humiliation and shame caused by something that wounds your pride or self-respect. It's usually accompanied with some degree of ill will, excited by the contemplation of another's superiority, advantages, or success. A covetous desire for some advantage possessed by another. In other words, you would like to have what another person has, and you don't think well of them because of it. Because they have it, and you don't. But let's think together of what kind of a fixed attitude of kindness our God has towards all men in the gospel. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, that is, toward all mankind, was shown and has appeared, it says here, in God the Father's sending Christ and giving him to all the world. And then when his work of righteousness and sufferings was finished, God's goodwill toward mankind further came to be seen through his commanding that the gospel be preached to all the nations. When Christ first appeared in his incarnation, he appeared as the kindness and love of God personified. He appeared as God the Father's gift to mankind sinners. It should be understood that even though God was and is angry toward unrepentant and rebellious man, that still because of his own essential nature, being love, God pitied men in their sinful state. Therefore he sent his Son, and having sent his Son, his will of desire, that's how I term it and others term it, his will of desire is shown in the gospel. That is, that he would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. This is his kindness. This is his general love for all mankind. The gospel of Christ, the saving truths of his perfect righteousness and his sufferings for sinners are therefore to be preached and shared with everyone that we can share them with so that they might believe and be saved. We can also say with just as great a certainty that when the gospel comes with power of the Holy Spirit to the heart of any person whom God has chosen to save, that he saves them not on the basis of works of righteousness which they have done, but according to his mercy. So we have here in these three verses both the general kindness and love of God and the specific mercy that is shown towards all those elect sinners whom God chooses to set his love upon. And we should always remember that there is both with God. There is his special electing love and saving grace being shown not in a general sense, but in a particular sense according to his eternal purpose. And then there is his general love in the gospel that is extended to all. And these two truths stand side by side in the scriptures, and they do not contradict each other. In this reality of the general kindness and love of God towards mankind, which forms the basis of the Christians having a kind of attitude toward people around them, this general kindness. The Christian is to exhibit the same kind of goodwill as God does towards sinners, having a general love for all men, for their highest welfare, both physical and spiritual. This attitude of kindness should be shown even to our enemies, if we are a Christian. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verses 35 and 36. Luke chapter 6 and verses 35 and 36. Rosie, would you read that for me, please?
But he heard him, he said, do good, and went, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
Okay, thank you for that, Rosie. Now, notice here these words, which are so important to Christians showing kindness even to those who are their enemies. It says here, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind. There's our word, Christos, or Christos again. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So we see here that the mercy of God, which is being shown to evil and ungrateful men, is His mercy toward their temporal needs, their earthly and physical needs. God gives many good earthly things to rebellious, unrepentant sinners, watching over their needs, doing them good in many ways, too numerous to count. And yet they do not come to Him by nature in order that they might find eternal life in Jesus Christ. But still He has an attitude of kindness towards them, and He is very patient, often very patient with them, far longer and beyond what they deserve. An example of how kindness is of great value in the relationships between all men is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 4 to 10. And Maria Elena, do you have that?
2 Samuel 2:4-10. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul's soul. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord Saul and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened, and be valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David.
That's right. Thanks for that, Maria Elena. Now you'll notice here that David has been anointed king by the men of Judah after King Saul died. It was the will of the Lord that this be so, because the Lord had rejected Saul from being king over Israel. And we see David's kindness here to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, who buried Saul after he had been taken by the Philistines in battle. Wounded, he fell on his own sword so that the enemy wouldn't come and abuse him when they found him. The Philistines had found him after the battle, after he died, and they fastened his body and the bodies of his sons to the wall of Bethshan. The valiant men of Jabesh took the bodies of Saul and his sons down off the wall and came to Jabesh and burned them there and took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And David commends them for this, saying that they had shown this kindness to Saul in burying him. He further blesses them with a benedictory prayer, saying, "And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you, and I will also repay you this kindness because you have done this thing." Those are very wonderful words, aren't they? I wonder if we think about things in that way, think about things in terms of other people showing kindness and commending them for it, like David did with these men of Jabesh. They weren't on his side yet. All of Israel was not yet on David's side. And Abner, it says here, was trying to bring them around towards David, but then he was slain by Joab. And you would think that, well, why should I even try to show people kindness? But David doesn't think that way. I show you this to give you a good example of the kindness of David. It's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in him, that he wanted to show these men his kindness, and that when he came to rule over them, that he would be kind to them. And so that's why he's commending this men of Jabesh for their kindness, and he attempts to let all men in Israel know his own kindness in the way that he would rule them. Now, secondly, it's important to be kind, because without it, we cannot be useful to God or helpful to people around us. I want you to turn with me over to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 to 17. David, are you still with me?
Yes, we are. We've lost the video because I think we can with.
Okay, well, you go ahead and you can read Romans 12 verses 9 to 17. That'd be great.
Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation, and never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Dave. Now you'll notice here that there's a lot of commandments that are given. And in order to keep these commandments, it says here that we need to be kindly affectionate to one another. Kindly affectionate to one another. In other words, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness, and have a real affection for the brethren, especially those in your own church. It says here, in fact, that seems to be the key to all this, is that if we have this brotherly love, if we have this fruit of the Spirit of kindness, then we will be able to go on to do these other things that he mentions here. And there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of things that would be difficult without the Holy Spirit's working, without his blessing in our heart and our life to help us to be kind. I think that it's something that we need to pray for more often, that we would be able to be kind to one another. Certainly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says that the Lord's bondservant, that is a minister, must be kind to all and able to teach and patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. So we see here that in order to be able to do good to other people, in order to be useful to God, in order to be helpful to people, that we need to have this grace of kindness. And I'm trying to say to you that being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, it takes the Holy Spirit's power. It is true that some people are given more than others to a sort of a natural or a fleshly kindness. But the fruit of the Spirit takes more than a natural ability. It takes a spiritual ability. So what I'm trying to say here is, if you begin to pray about these things, you say to yourself and to God, how is it that I can show kindness to people around me in particular? How can I show them kindness? And to be a kind person, you must learn to think about others beside yourself. To think of how you can show them kindness. Sometimes I think we always think about whether people are showing us kindness, but we don't always think about whether or not we are showing them kindness. So kindness is an attitude of thinking of others in a kindly way, but it leads to acts of kindness as well. And to give you a good example of this, I want you to turn with me over to the book of 2 Samuel once again. And this time we're going to look at chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. David is now reigning over all the kingdom of Israel, and God had established him in his kingdom and given him great promises of what he would do for him and for his people. God was going to build David a house. And so it's with this in mind that we want to read 2 Samuel 9. I think I want to read the whole chapter here. Here's what it says. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And so when he had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, or Micah, I don't know how to pronounce that. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. Now, in closing the study, I want you to notice a few things about David's kindness. David was thinking about how he could show kindness to the house of Saul, his former enemy. And the fact that he was thinking this way shows that the Holy Spirit was working in his heart to bring these thoughts of doing good to the forefront of his mind. I wonder if you have ever stopped to think about the fact that when you are thinking about doing kindness for someone as a Christian, that there is the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart in that regard. That's a very significant thing. You might not have been thinking about that person before, but all of a sudden they come to your mind. And you think, you know, I would like to do that person some kindness. That is of the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, you realize it's going to take God's grace, it's going to take His strength, it's going to take His wisdom to know how to do things that will show forth the kindness that you have in your heart. Notice how it says here, the kindness of God, in these verses. David wanted to show the house of Saul the kindness of God. I was trying to find that verse, but it's in there.
Verse 3.
There it is, yeah. Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? So there's a kindness that comes, an earthly kindness that has its root in people's hearts, where people will be kind to one another for selfish reasons. And then there is the kindness of God, whereby we think about other people for God's sake and for other people's sake. In this case, it was Jonathan that David wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul because of. Jonathan had practically laid down his life for David in regard to his father. He'd really given up his own right to his kingdom, and knew that David was going to someday reign, knew that David was anointed, knew that his father Saul was wrong to have tried to take David's life at a number of places. And so Jonathan was faithful. Jonathan was faithful to God. He was faithful to his father, King Saul. And he actually died in battle then with his father. But David wanted to do a kindness for someone from Saul's house, for Jonathan's sake, it says here. So in this, I think we need to see Jonathan as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who really did lay down his life for our sakes. And therefore, David's wanting to show kindness for Jonathan's sake is, and it should be, a type of the believers wanting to show kindness for Christ's sake. That is to do acts of kindness ourselves because we know the one who has shown us the ultimate kindness and the highest of sacrificial love in dying for our sins. I wonder if we think about it that way here tonight. Do you want to show kindness to others around you because Jesus has been kind to you in the ultimate sacrificial sense? Well, I hope that that's what you want to do because really that's the right motivation. That's the highest motivation for the exercise of the fruit of the Spirit of kindness. You want to show other people kindness for Jesus' sake. Jesus has done this for me. Now I want to be kind to others as well. David wanted to show Mephibosheth, I have a hard time with that name, the kindness of sitting and eating at his table like one of the king's sons. An amazing thing, isn't it? Take a guy that he calls himself a dead dog and he's lame and he can't do much of anything, and David's going to raise him up to eat food at the king's table day by day. And so we ought to have in our hearts the kind of kindness that wants to lift and raise others up too, to have all the privileges that we can possibly bestow upon them that are done out of love for Christ and love for them. We ought not to despise the most lowly of people in that regard. But for Christ's sake, want to show them kindness if we can. David knew that in order for him to have a good life, that is Mephibosheth, he would need his father's lands returned to him, which is what he did, and his servants to do the work and harvest the crops and take care of Mephibosheth himself, and they would bring in the harvest for him, that his master's son would have food to eat. Do you see what kindness leads to? It leads to goodness. That's our next one of the fruit of the Spirit that we'll be studying. But kindness leads to goodness. It leads to acts of kindness and goodness, to being good, showing that kind of goodness to other people, and tangible acts of service, which are rendered to Christ, first of all, and then to the other people whom he puts on our hearts and who are a part of our church, and needy people around us as well. People that don't know the Lord sometimes. And that's good for us. So David appointed Ziba, it says here, Saul's servant, to work the land, along with his 15 sons and 20 servants. Boy, that's providential, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of sons and a lot of servants. And in this regard, David is a good example to us all. Because showing kindness is, in acts, is loving your neighbor as yourself. And you will be fulfilling the law of God in relation to Jesus Christ, who is the only one who has fulfilled it perfectly. Christ has loved you and given himself for you. Therefore, you too ought to be able to show kindness in your attitude, your words, and your actions. Does anyone have any comments or questions or observations that you want to bring up? I'm getting a lot out of these studies just preparing them. I've never really done a study on all of them in depth. And it's been really good for me to be able to take a closer look at it. Number 410.
Take me, O my Father, take me. Take me, save me, feed thyself.
Yeah, that should be good. Take me, O my Father, take me. Take me, save me through thy Son. That which thou wouldst have me, make me. Let thy will in me be done. Long from thee my footsteps straying, thorny prove the way I trod. Weary come I now and praying, take me to thy love, my God. Fruitless years with grief recalling, humbly I confess my sin. At thy feet, O Father, falling to thy household, take me in. Freely now to thee I proffer this relenting heart of mine. Freely life and soul I offer, gift unworthy, love like thine. Once the world's Redeemer dying bore our sins upon the tree. On that sacrifice relying, now I look in hope to thee. Father, take me all, forgiving, fold me to thy loving breast. In thy love forever living, I must be forever blessed. Amen.